Will you join me in thanking the Leister family for letting us know what's happening? That's awesome. So a great big happy Mother's Day. One grown man wrote, "I owe my mother. I owe my mother. She taught me so much. Mom taught me about consequences. Consequences. She said, if you fall out of that swing and break your neck, you're not going to the store with me." He says, "Mom taught me to see and do the impossible. She said, will you look at the dirt on the back of your neck? Impossible. My mother taught me to watch out for hypocrisy. She said to me, if I've told you once, I've told you a million times, don't exaggerate. She taught me about behavioral modification. Stop acting like your father. My mother passed along keen insights on medical science. I bet you've heard this one. If you don't stop crossing your eyes, they're gonna freeze that way. She also taught me about the circle of life. She said, one day you'll have kids and I hope they turn out just like you. And then, of course, the infamous circle of life mom wisdom. Straighten up, son. I brought you into this world and I can what? Take you out of it, yeah. Moms are wonderful, truly, seriously. Moms serve as courageous, everyday engineers for our lives, and they work so hard, don't they? So hard with so little thanks, actually, or admiration. Now, not today, because I know you guys and you kids, you're all over this, right? Some of you are grabbing your phones to start making a reservation right now. Yeah. How do moms keep moving forward? Faithful, loving, and motivated. How does a mom's influence multiply for Jesus' gracious kingdom? Three key verses this morning launch us into answering these questions today. Three verses. Very old, true, biblical story. Genesis 17, 15 through 17. I invite you to Genesis 15. Join me there, please, in God's word. Genesis 17, 15 through 17. And God said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her. And moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her. She shall become nations. Kings of people shall come from her." And then verse 17 says, "Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said to himself, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? Shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child?" Moms do so much to love in selfless ways. Moms do so much to love in selfless ways. They work so hard on our behalf. And on a day like today, we stop and ask, what allows them to do this again and again, day after day, week after week, year after year? This morning, we encounter one truly amazing mom in God's story. She has a big link to our ongoing Sunday series we're in this springtime called Right, our series in Romans, with St. Paul's words to the Romans. We read her name last time in Romans 4, last week. Romans 4, we read Sarah's name. Truth be told, this matriarch, Sarah, shaped her back then family, and she continues to ripple lasting influence for all of us, truly. See, she is the mother that God used to get the whole faith venture rolling. Let's do some time travel and discover together what it was like to be in her sandals, mother of the whole Hebrew nation and a whole movement of faith. It all started precarious, risky, wildly uncertain. Abraham, or Abram as he was originally called, decided to move the clan from their homeland in Ur of the Chaldeans, a region in Mesopotamia. Genesis 11, if you page just a few pages back from 17, Genesis 11 relates the start of their venture. Ur was a polytheistic region with pagan worship and practices centered on the celestial beings, the sun, moon, and stars, especially what they believed to be the moon god. Mysteriously, Abram was responsive to the one true Lord God's voice. God told him to move. Genesis 12, verse 1 says, the Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. Verse 2 says, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. Now, notice how much of this sounds like what we also read a few moments ago in Genesis 17, directly related to Sarah. Verse 3 in chapter 12, I will bless those who bless you. And whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Sarai and Abram responded to God's call. They responded to God's call, packed up their tents, and they moved. Now, she had to be amazingly flexible, courageous, and more than okay with risk-taking. See, they did not just land somewhere and start the Jewish nation. They wandered, kept setting up tents, tearing them back down, setting them back up, wandering all over the terrain that God had promised. Sarai's life was in a constant state of flux. If you feel like your life is in a constant state of flux, well, you're actually in good company with this amazing mom. Flexibility and risk-taking were of utmost importance. Sarai heard God's call to be on the go, keep moving. Sarai heard God's call to be on the go, keep moving, and be a blessing. And this is still a call for every mom. And all of us, really. We've been discovering parallel truths in Romans. We are declared right with God by faith. So we believe that and we receive that. The faith venture works that way. We believe God's promises. We believe the truth that Jesus is our Savior, our Lord. Jesus is the one who changes us from the inside out. We believe that. We receive that. Same was true for Sarai and Abram. Believe it. Receive it. We're declared right with God. We become convinced that Jesus includes us. Yes, the likes of us. That we get to belong in his family. We're made righteous. We belong. And then we live sent. We live on mission every day. Live to truly bless others with Jesus' good news. See, this is an old story with great big 2026 implications. Made righteous. We belong in the family, and we live sent. We live to truly bless others with Jesus' good news. And Sarai's feisty risk-taking, her agile willingness to truly trust God, blazed a trail of true faith, blazed a trail of true faith. Still today, when moms live flexible, full of growing faith, willing to move on mission in step with God every day. Remember our questions? How do moms keep moving forward? Faithful, loving, and motivated? How does a mom's influence multiply for a ripple effect for Jesus' gracious kingdom? Listen. Be attentive. Responsive to Jesus' call every day. Every day, move as he moves you. Every day, be grateful, grateful for his tangible blessings, and bless others by overflowing God's blessing to them. Experience the goodness of God and then intentionally follow his call to spread that good news, that message, and kind blessings to others. Now, I know this all sounds so wonderful, a bit like princess magic, princess-like. Fun fact, Sarai, that name means princess of her people, princess of her family, her tribe. That beautiful, that blessed, that much of a blessing, a princess. It's a name of high honor. And she was indeed very beautiful. In fact, so beautiful, a couple of the points in the story tell us that Abraham actually had the challenge of other men like wanting her. And there was some scheming that took place and all of that and all kinds of twists and turns with it. Because Sarai was such a beautiful princess. But the Lord had even more in his plans for Sarai. Way beyond a beauty pageant, princess-like person. Way more plans for her. She encountered a seemingly outrageous challenge. God's promise said she and Abram would have a family tree. A whole nation would spring forth and bless the whole world. However, they tried to start a family. And they planned, and they tried, and they waited, and they tried, and they tried some more, and they waited. Year after year, month after month, no baby, nothing. In fact, the prequel to their story, I told you about Genesis 11. Genesis 11, verse 30, very pointedly says, but Sarai was unable to become pregnant and had no children. And the redundancy is really deliberate by the storyteller. It's like, just make sure you don't miss the point. She was unable to have kids. And she didn't have any kids. Their everyday experience flew in the face of what God had promised them. Descendants like the stars in the sky. Many of us have personally traveled such a season or a bunch of seasons, longing to have kids. Before God brought along our three amazing sons, Nance and I walked through a number of years like that. We've had numerous friends experience the same. Some of you, we've walked that journey with you. And most of us know somebody who's walked that journey, that same journey, longing for kids, but no kids. For Sarai and Abram, year after year, no baby. In fact, patience ran threadbare for them. They reached their breaking point and decided to take matters into their own hands. Sarai instigated it. She thought she was doing something super smart. She proposed Abram take her servant girl, Hagar. She would be his concubine. Something that was culturally typical, accepted by society in that day, especially for the wealthy, a Bedouin like Abram. Important we note, God did not direct this supposedly bright idea. No indication in the text that they asked him. But Abram and Sarai decided that it was a brilliant scheme. Genesis 16 reports, Genesis 16, so Abram had sexual relations with Hagar and she became pregnant. But when Hagar knew she was pregnant, she began to treat her mistress Sarai with contempt. Then Sarai said to Abram, this is all your fault. I put my servant into your arms, but now that she's pregnant, she treats me with contempt. The Lord will show who's wrong, you or me. Abram replied, look, she is your servant. so deal with her as you see fit. Great guy answer, right? And then Sarai treated Hagar so harshly that she finally ran away. Wow. Some of you are like, that's in the Bible? Whew. Sounds like something straight out of some steamy romance revenge movie, right? Claws out, females fighting, a Netflix classic, right? Yuck. But this really is in the Faith Family story. Really is in here. It's the stuff of real life. And it's not just an old shocking Bible story. Here's a story with jagged reality for our lives today. See, every human has their share of just couldn't wait. I had to take matters into my hands moments. In the thick of disappointment, we get overwhelmed with worry. Anxiety loops inside us. We start scheming. We enact our own plans. Then consequences come, then anger, then harsh revenge rolls, and relational mayhem is uncorked. Been there? We all have. Restless, rushing ahead, then regrets and ugly revenge. So, take inventory. Take stock in your soul. And where you find those things that are utter disruptions, confess them to God and receive that forgiveness. But then don't get stuck in endless despair. Instead, believe this, even those deep regret events, even those I did it my way moments are not wasted in God's kingdom. Sarah and Abram were learning, just like we're learning, this life of faith. This life of faith involves learning to say, I won't rush ahead of God. I'll slow down. I'll wait on him. I'll trust him more in these moments that are hard. After all, God really does know best. God really does know best. His timing is best. He has it all under control, especially when all your current circumstances say, there's no way. He must have fallen asleep. He must have forgotten what he promised. Mark it down. He is faithful. He is faithful, and he is eager to help us grow in our faith, to faithfully reflect his daily goodness, his faithfulness, and holy righteousness. Remember our leading questions. How do moms keep moving forward? Faithful, loving, and motivated. How does a mom's influence multiply for Jesus' gracious kingdom? How do moms keep moving forward, faithful, loving, and motivated? How does a mom's influence multiply, ripple for Jesus' gracious kingdom? Sarai and Abram's daily story, maybe you're picking up on it. It's full of twists and turns, a lot like ours in 21st century. Twists and turns. Moments of great momentum, hours. Hurtful, fearful heartache. When we get to Genesis 17, God makes even deeper promise to Abram, signifying his covenant with the outward seal of circumcision. It's a concept we've been encountering in Romans 1 through 4 this spring. Circumcision, Romans 1 through 4. Here in Genesis 17, we see the origination, and Abram gets reminder of God's gracious promise again, this covenant, this call to covenant faithfulness. And right here, we encounter those verses from our message start. Here they are again. And God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. So now, instead of calling her Sarai, princess of this family, princess of the tribe, you'll call her Sarah. That means mother of many more, multitudes, mother of multitudes of people, mother of nations, Sarah. So like so many of God's truths in his stunning story, this delivers meaning with a double or triple ring to it. On the one hand, it's reinforcement again that they're going to have a baby. On another hand, it's that idea that for generations to come, actual quantity of humans will multiply like the stars in the sky. For her family tree, so true, but also all other people groups. Gentiles, all the others, folks like you and me. Verse 16, God continued, I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall become nations. Kings of peoples shall come from her. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Yes, a baby boy. And then so many baby boys and baby girls. Nations, numerous peoples, kings of peoples. What a promise. Such good news. Good news even had far-reaching, mind-blowing anticipation. Don't miss it. Anticipation of the coming Messiah, Jesus, kings. And then 17:17, Genesis 17:17 says, then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said to himself, shall a child be born to a man? To a man who is 100 years old, shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? Face down, Abraham is laughing. It's the same response from Sarah in chapter 18. In fact, there in chapter 18, the Lord challenged Sarah. And no doubt in that moment, Abraham grimaced with his own guilt over his own laughter. Genesis 18, 13, and 14. Take a look. The Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old? And God says, is anything too hard for the Lord? You ever in a situation? You've been in a situation where you're like, I just can't help but laugh. I just couldn't help but blurt it out. And right here, it's their visceral reaction to God's word, his unfolding promise. So when the little baby boy, a little over a year later, when the little baby boy was born to this unbelievably old couple, they just have to name him Yitzhak, Isaac, laughter. Recall our big Mother's Day questions. How do moms keep moving forward, faithful, loving, and motivated? How does a mom's influence multiply for Jesus' gracious kingdom? Watch this. Enjoy. Moms, we say an immense, immense thanks today. Will you join me in thanking moms? Will you join me? Back in our story, back in Sarah's story, what seemed impossible, God fulfilled. Isaac was born. Yitzhak, laughter was born. Moms and dads, grandmoms, and granddads, all of us, you've got your own just too hard, impossible scenarios every day. You have one or two or 10, just no way situations where you're prone to shake your head, laugh, and label the probability as just too far-fetched. Hear God's promises in his word. Hear God's promises loud and clear in his word. He is good, trustworthy, gracious, fully capable of unfolding his redeeming, life-transforming, character-shaping, kingdom-multiplying plans in you and through you. He will be faithful. He will be faithful to bless you and then bless others with multiplying ripple influence through you. And know this, it wasn't all about the quantity, the count of people who would descend from Sarah's life. It was about the deep and wide quality of faith-filled living. So many more people would experience. So many more people would experience because of her faith in El Shaddai, God Almighty. So, be a mom on the move. Be a mom on the move, full of active, growing faith, a growing trust. Be a mom who even dares, when she gets it wrong, to own it, receive grace and mercy, and keep on trusting. Be feisty enough to laugh and love, reflect, regret, and then laugh some more. Be encouraged. Be encouraged by God's long-range kingdom plans in those moments when you just wonder day by day, what is up, Lord? And how are you working? Oh, wow. What in the world can you do through this and in this, Lord? Wow. Be encouraged by his long-range kingdom plans multiplying in and through your daily faithfulness, even in all of the daily ups and downs. Two snapshots from other places in the biblical story lend some insight. The old prophet Isaiah captures it this way. Isaiah 51, 1 and 2. Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness. There's a correlating word to our Romans study, right? You who pursue righteousness. You who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn and to the quarry from which you were dug. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah, who bore you. For he was but one when I called him, that I might bless him and multiply him. And then, centuries later, Hebrews 11, verse 11, by faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. The Lord is faithful. The Lord is so faithful. So you and I can live faithful every day. Every day. Why? Because he promised. Every day. Even when our mundane tasks and terrible trials and loads of laundry and dishes beyond belief and spreadsheets and business plans, and even when all of it seems so overwhelming, when daily patience testers feel extremely difficult, impossible even, you can trust him. You can trust him. Why? Because he is faithful. Let us pray. We praise you, gracious Lord. We praise you, gracious Lord. We faithfully seek you. We pursue your righteousness, looking to the examples of Sarah and Abraham, amazing faithful ones, in light of your faithfulness. Such faith, It's such an immense blessing from you to them and through them, multiplying into so many other lives, including ours. Thank you. All-wise Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thank you. We honor moms today, and we thank them profusely. And we ask you to bolster our hearts, to seek your righteousness, and to let your faithfulness keep motivating us to live faith-filled lives for your glory, Jesus. Amen. As you listen to this reflection song, I want to encourage you to be asking yourself, what are the next faith steps I'll take? What are those next faith-filled steps I'll take?